My name is Ming Fei, and I work in Seattle, Microsoft Corporation, as a program manager for Windows Azure Media Services team. And today the session is about building video application for Windows 8 with Windows Azure Media Services. So if you are a developer that you want to develop video application at Windows 8, this is the right session for you. And if you consider of streaming video content from the cloud, even better, I will touch a little bit on how do you use Windows Azure Media Services. And I do have a separate session earlier on for Windows Azure Media Services. If you want to get to know more, then you can check out that session. Okay, and today certainly we have a lot to go through. Firstly, I will touch on some of the media industry trends to sort of like set up the foundation of this presentation. And then I will talk about what Microsoft is up to in the media space, what kind of technology platform we offer. And then I will go into a very short introduction of Windows Azure Media Services. And then we will go into the major portion of this presentation, which is talking about Media Platform Player Framework, which we offer for you to easily build video application on Windows 8 platform with out-of-box support for smooth streaming, advertising, and closed caption. So there are certainly a lot more features for this player framework, but that's sort of like the feature I want to focus today. And there are a lot of demos going through at that part of the presentation. And then lastly, I will show you guys some sample Windows 8 application, which are going to be publicly available later on, like pretty much next month. So you sort of get a preview on what would be going on for a lot of amazing application. Okay, so let's get started. There are a bunch of the trends I want to talk about for media industry. The first thing I want to mention is people these days watch more video online rather than buying physical storage, such as DVD or Blu-ray. So who who like to watch video on PC? Okay, cool. I saw a lot of hands. And I think I stopped watching TV probably 3 years ago, because I can certainly consume all the content online in US, like movies. And not only movies, now even TV content, you think about it. TV industry is gradually moving into IP video platform, so more people could enjoy the content online. And not only using PC, we see the trend that more people using tablet or more portable devices like mobile phone to consume video. And that's why video traffic, I see 50% of all the mobile traffic this year. And it will continue growing in the next 5 years, which that's sort of like very important trend for video. And another thing I want to mention is HTTP-based adaptive streaming, which is a technology for deliver streaming video content online, which considers to be the future of video streaming. And it certainly provides better viewing experience. So before going to explaining this, I want to define what we call a good viewing experience. So certainly, as an audience, like consumer, you want them to be able to watch your video anytime, anywhere, in whatever devices they use. However, what we all don't want to see is I'm watching an exciting basketball match and then it just keep buffering, right? So those experiences are certainly very bad. So you don't want the video experience to be interrupted. And that's what HTTP-based adaptive bitrate streaming provides. It allows the stream to actually adapt the video experience to the quality of the network and device CPU. If you know this concept pretty well, bear with me for the next 3 minutes because I'm going to just quickly explain what adaptive streaming is. And I think that's pretty important for this presentation. So firstly, you have a video and you encode a video with multiple bit rates, which means you have a video from a low quality into a very high quality. And then you you deliver the video to normal HTTP server, which could be any server that you deliver web pages. Instead of delivering video in a very large file, what you do is the video gets chunked into smaller pieces. such as 2 seconds per video fragments, and they are ordered in a sequential order. So that's sort of like how adaptive streaming packaged the video. And then remember I said the video is encoded into multiple bit rates. For this every single 2 second video fragments, you could deliver them into multiple bit rate from low quality video to high quality. So how does this provide better experience? As a user, if I just open my video application, you know, the application, what I want is to get a very fast startup speed. So at that point, my client SDK will just pick up the lower speed rate video so that I just get to, you know, download that video fragment in the very fast speed, so I get a faster startup speed for watching the movie. And later on, since my network condition is better, for the next 2 seconds, the client will pick up a higher quality video fragments so that the user gets a better resolution movie. And later on, if the user's network condition drops, for instance, then which data chunk will be fed into the video client? It will be a lower bitrate one, right? Because I don't want you to suffer from buffering the content and all this kind of bad experience. Imagine I am the content provider. If I use this technology that I encode the video into multiple bitrate, I don't need to worry what client you use. It could be any devices, it could be any network condition, because your client is intelligent enough to pick up what you need at that moment. So if you are watching on a very high resolution machine, then you are just going to grab a high bitrate data fragment from me at that moment so that you get a very good viewing experience. And that's why it is very good in terms of best viewing experience and also real cost cutting. So remember, before you may have the situation that while you are watching video, you probably only watch the first minute. However, while you watching for that first minute, another 7 minutes of content gets loaded into your video application. The problem is, if I close the video application right now, I wasted 6 minutes of time to buffering the content, right? You pay the bandwidth, the broadband at home. And not only you, the content provider pays 6 minutes of feeding you the content. They pay for the CDN, but you never get to watch the content. That's the case. However, for adaptive streaming, as I showed just now, only a few data, the video fragments are fed into the client. No matter how, you know, you just keep buffering the content, they will only have probably 10 seconds of video feed into your client side. And that's why it's called streaming technology, because you don't actually download the video if you don't watch it. And that's really a real cost cutting for both content provider and for your customer. And lastly is the scalability. Adaptive streaming is delivered through HTTP server so that you can utilize any edge delivery CDN to deliver the content. And lastly, there are three major streaming format right now, and all of them take H.264 as input. H.264 is a file with .mp4 extension, which you guys are familiar with. So you just think that's like a milk-flavored chocolate. And the adaptive streaming format is like a package. So they package the video to be delivered in smaller chunks, and then to have the intelligence on the client side. However, Microsoft, like all these vendors, sees the importance of adaptive streaming. And Microsoft has the standard called Smooth Streaming, and Apple has HTTP Live Streaming, and Adobe have HTTP Dynamic Streaming. So why they come out with their own implementation for adaptive streaming? The reason is, I saw two friends here. I have a free cup to give away. Yeah. Okay. They make me nervous. And Nick is the one that delivered the session in New Zealand, and he will be on stage later for Q&A session. You don't know that, right? Okay. So why is that the case, right? All of them have their own implementation for adaptive streaming, any technical issue? Okay, cool. Okay, the reason is there is no industry standard yet. If you don't know this, at least you should remember this, because this will become very important in the next 5 years for video industry. There is a standard called DASH. Currently is getting developed by more than 50 media companies and to be the future for adaptive streaming. Because remember, all this implementation are vendor-centric, that it may, you know, be the platform itself may take advantage. And DASH is certainly the future. Okay, and the last trend I want to talk about is for you, if you want to develop a video application, what has been done before is 10 years ago, if you want to watch video online, you probably need to install something like this, like a real-time plugin to be able to watch video. And later on, there's a movement called Rich Internet Application Movement to allow you to create video more interactively, and such as using Silverlight or Flash. But it doesn't solve all the problem. It's probably a very good solution for PC application right now for consuming video. The reason being, I guess you guys are all familiar with this event a few years ago, and this person announced the iPad in New York City. And this legendary person, you know, he opened up New York Times, and there is a blue Lego shows up there. What was missing on the page? Yes, Flash. I will give you this one, because you listen carefully for my session. And, wow, okay, cool. And right, that's Flash, right? And that was Jobs' blog post afterwards. You know, you guys sucks. And that's why we don't want to take you onto the tablet system. And that was Adobe's response after the blog gets posted on Apple website. And that's Apple's response. So Apple says that we don't want to take any plugin onto tablet platform or even mobile in the future because that's slow. And we wanted to embrace the open standard, which is HTML5. And if you pay attention to the announcement from Windows 8 platform, they were saying even Metro Mode IE doesn't render anything built by using Silverlight. Even our own platform, we don't take in a plugin. And for Flash, we only support a whitelist of websites which has a Flash implementation. So the question comes out that we all know, the question comes out that we all know there is a video tag in HTML5 natively specs that to deliver playback video in the web page. So will HTML5 become the cross-browser, cross-platform solution? The answer is still too early. There are only 74% of the browser in the market right now support HTML5 video. It's easy to guess what that 26% of browsers are, right? And there are 50% of them support .mp4, and 50% of them support WebM. There are two very different video formats, which means it's fragmented in terms of format support. If you want to do a HTML5 video application, you have to encode your video into multiple formats, which are very costly, right? And then only 50 have full screen support, which is a very important thing for video application. All your audience would want to watch the video on full screen. And lastly, as I said, adaptive streaming is the trend for future. And only Apple Safari has implemented iOS, the Apple standard of adaptive streaming, which is HTTP live streaming. And this is considered as a proprietary solution because they implemented their own standard. You could never imagine Chrome or IE implement HTTP live streaming standard because that's sort of like Apple specs. And the last point, which is a hard stop for a lot of studios and media companies, there's no DRM solution for HTML5. If you sell premium content, it will never be a solution to build a HTML5 web application to serve all the platform. People are just going to grab your content. And so talking about all this trend that leads to what we offer as a platform. So firstly, we understand HTML5 is not the ultimate solution right now because it's too early. So we have a multiple client SDK for you to be able to build video application with DRM support, adaptive streaming onto different platforms, such as Windows 8 is one of them, which I will introduce in the later slides. And we have multiple delivery options, which you could either host your video onto IIS, smooth streaming media server, or you could use a brand new service, Windows Azure Media Services, to be able to stream your content. And then we have multiple monetized model because we understand you want to earn money through your video application. So we have ways for you to easily integrate your advertisement into the application. And that's a very quick overview of what kind of SDK we have. And you can see that we support majority of Microsoft platform as well as a spectrum of third-party platform like iOS or Flash. And today the focus is on Windows 8. And we have this smooth streaming SDK in Windows 8, which we foresee as the primary media delivery platform for Windows 8. And it has support for video element in all different styles of application, HTML5, JavaScript, Metro application, modern application, and XAML modern application, and C++ native as well. It provides an easy way for you to consume smooth streaming content, and even you want to consume, you know, your own, maybe you are serving the content through a normal progressive download. The player framework supports that as well. So smooth streaming is certainly an additional, very important feature. And then we provide porting experience for existing video application because we believe a lot of people already have Silverlight video application for PC. And for Windows 8, it's just a porting experience for you to have a XAML application. And then we will have advertisement support and then very easy to get started with Visual Studio. So if you take a look in terms of system stack, at the very bottom is Windows 8 platform. And Windows 8 team went ahead to build a media pipeline to enable you render the video on top of the platform. And we have this client SDK built by my team. We named that Smooth Streaming Extension SDK for you to enable adaptive streaming playback. And today my focus is on player framework, which is a very simple player framework with video control so that you could have a ready-to-go video player easily. And on top of that is what we are expecting, your awesome video application. If I take a closer look on what I mean by Smooth Streaming Extension SDK. So for Windows 8 platform, there's a media engine. And the media engine talks to the playback pipeline for you to be able to play the video. So imagine if I have a video with the .mp4 extension. It's natively supported by Windows 8 because it supports H.264, WMV, VC1, and another bunch of codecs. So once I pass in a .mp4 file, it will utilize the decoder, renderer, the decryptor if you have DRM, and the media source will get passed through this media source interface so that your video gets rendered on Windows 8 platform. And in terms of battery utilization, hardware acceleration, Windows team will take care of that layer so that your video gets played. However, now, if your application is using smooth streaming, the URL you passed into the application would be /manifest. In that case, Windows will say, hey, I don't understand this source. What does /manifest means? I only understand the .mp4. And that was where we had this smooth streaming extension SDK produced that when the manifest passes into media source interface, it will route to smooth streaming extension SDK first so that we unpackage. Remember, just as I said, You are choosing a milk-flavored chocolate .mp4 as the video source, and Microsoft Smooth Streaming is like a package for that chocolate. So here we unpackage it, and then we send back the chocolate into the playback pipeline so that Windows 8 Media platform could render the .mp4 natively, so you still can utilize the optimization of the video pipeline from Windows 8 platform. Okay, and that's the key part of the presentation, and from this slide onwards, we will only see Visual Studio. And this is the player framework we built for you to it ships as open source at playerframework.coplex.com. And then it builds capability of Smooth Streaming SDK for you to be able to build a out-of-box video player. And it has it's available for multiple platforms such as Windows 8 and HTML5 player for browser, and also Silverlight and Windows Phone player. So you'll use the same framework. It's a very well established player framework. It has been used by NBC Sunday Night Football, Winter Olympic, to actually build the video player to playback video. And lastly, it's a plugin architecture. We don't just give you a library as a whole that to, you know, maybe blow the size of your XAML file. You only use the functionality you need, and then you import that library, such as advertising later on we see. When you use that, then you import that library. And those are all the features get supported by that player framework, and which are highlighted by red color. I will go into detail later on, and I will do demo on each of them. Okay, and now let's switch to desktop to take a look at demo. Which number? Okay, 8. Cool. Okay, cool. So firstly, I want to show you, you could download the framework here, playerframework.coplex.com, and you could actually check out the documentation here. It's an open source project. It's free for using as well. And then what we need to do firstly is we will pick up a JavaScript application. I think it should be under Windows Store. Okay, cool. And then click on OK. Let me enlarge the editor area so you can see better. Cool. And first thing we will need to do is to import reference, which is the player framework you can download from Coplex website I showed just now. And we will need to, let's see here, extension. Okay, cool. So just click on this one. We will only import this one for now. Can you guys see in the back row? You want to move in front so you can see clearer for the code? Okay. And then click on OK, because we are not going to do Smooth Streaming playback right now, so we are going to only import this one. Okay, and while it gets imported, let me show you what it contains. It contains a JavaScript library and a CSS file. So what I need to do is to refer to this one, and I'm going to enlarge the editor as well. And I'm going to cheat a little bit to copy in the library. That was where you could refer to the CSS file I mentioned here, as well as the JavaScript. If you look at the CSS file, that was where you can customize the feel and look of your video player. So if you want to have a better fancy skin, then you can modify it here. Okay, and then what you need to do to make a video playback is very simple. I'm just going to copy-paste the code here. Okay, and I will do an explanation. So if you look at the div file here, the first thing is data win control. That was where all the properties inside that library gets initialized. And we are pointing to player framework.media player. And then you see this data win options. And then you could define the video console, how big it is, and then the source file, which video file you want it to play. You look at the parameter here. It looks familiar, right? It looks like the parameter inside the video tag. If I say video tag, that's the same thing, which is true. All the parameters specified here are, if whatever parameters inside video tag in HTML5 are the same here, which you can specify, and we have a lot additional parameters for you to control your video application. So if now I do a playback, the application gets compiled, and you will see this. Oh, could I have audio on my machine? Or can you guys hear? No, you can't. So that you can control the volume. Okay, sorry. Oh. Oh, cool. So you have to be there. Okay, so now you see the playback. And certainly, you want to customize the player a little bit more. And I'm going to copy-paste the code here, which I will explain in a minute. As you can see here, firstly, I have a playlist. So I'm going to play two videos back-to-back. And that's the URL for the video. And then I have a lot of new attributes added in. Firstly, I add a skip previous button, which I can skip to the first video in the playlist. And then I have a skip next button visible that I will show another skip next button. And it's full screen visible. That's like a full screen button. So that's sort of how you could adding components onto your video application. And you may wonder, where can I find all these things, right? You need to go into the documentation section for Player Framework. And if you go in under Windows 8 Metro Player Documentation, there is a JavaScript API reference where you can get all the additional functions to customize your video player. And now if I run this application, you will see more buttons appear, yes. So I could quickly skip to the next video. Okay, and then I could also like have a full screen on the video, and then I can actually adjust the volume. Okay, lovely video. Okay, I can do it myself, it's fine. Okay, and okay. And then just now, as we all seen that the video are in the MP4 format, what if I want a smooth streaming source? And I'm going to show you guys quickly, as I promised, about Windows Azure Media Services. Okay. So we were using this media services to prepare a smooth streaming content. Since I said my focus is on client for this session, so I'm just quickly introduce this one. Windows Azure Media Services provides ingestion for video asset into the cloud, and you can use the service to encode your media services. You can do format conversion, content protection, and then finally you can choose, hey, please help me do an on-demand streaming for my content, or you can choose to do a live streaming. And we also have analytics and advertising component coming. And I'm just quickly do a demo on the media services. I felt my demo on Wednesday, if some of you guys are still in my session. Who are in my session on Wednesday? Oh, come and talk to me. I feel so appreciated to see you guys here because my demo failed miserably on Wednesday. I sincerely apologize for that incident, but I will try it again here. That this Contoso demo is what my... Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, thanks. This Contoso demo is what my team built as a demo site to demonstrate the capability of Windows Azure Media Services. So it's like a toy site, but all the code will be published as open source, so people could build this kind of application on top of our services as well. And so I'm just going to encode a .mp4 into smooth streaming and streaming to the cloud in Windows 8 application. So firstly, I'm going to upload a video set. Okay, I hope the network works well this time. There are two things I'm scared the most during a presentation. The first thing is a slow internet connection. The second thing is Windows update. Probably kills the presentation. Okay. Do I have internet? Okay, I think I have internet connection now. It's just a little bit slow. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run a job which convert a .mp4 to smooth streaming. Lucky I have uploaded the content into the portal. So I could click on new. So let's name the job to be I want to convert MP4 to smooth streaming. And then I can choose a template which I have already set up, MP4 to smooth streaming, and click on next. And I'm going to use this video I just uploaded before the presentation. And then we will start the job. So now the whole encoding process is running on Windows Azure for media, Windows Azure Media Services. And later on, we will be able to see just encoded content in smooth streaming format, and then we will plug into the application. Okay, and let's refresh the asset list, and hopefully it will come out quickly. So if I refresh the job list, I should be able to see the job is getting processed. Okay, you can see that the job is getting processing right now. And after a while, we will see the smooth streaming content shows up. So before this, I'm going to switch back to my Visual Studio content console to prepare for the smooth streaming part. Because now we are using smooth streaming playback, we will need to import more references. So right-click on References folder, Add References. And what we need to add firstly is the Smooth Streaming Client SDK, which, as I mentioned, is additional capability for the platform to playback smooth streaming. And then we will need to import this C++ runtime package. The reason is Smooth Streaming Client SDK is built in C++ native language, and that's why you need that to compile your platform, the library. And then Player Framework, as I said earlier on, it's a plug-in architecture. You only use the features you need, and then you import a library so that we import this adaptive streaming plugin here. Click on OK. And now we have all these references in. And you notice there is a yellow sign here. It's because the code inside the library is a managed code so that you have to compile against certain platform. And we are going to compile it with we will choose a 32-bit machine. It compiles against 64 and ARM as well. So you see the yellow sign disappear. And what I'm going to do is firstly to refer to the library. I'm going to copy paste the library reference here. It references to the adaptive library inside the player framework. And then I'm going to change the code here. If I will copy paste the player here. But I'm not going to use the URL here because we are getting a live streaming URL. The streaming URL from the job we were running. If I click on Asset, so that was a job we just get. I think the job is still running. I don't want to cheat here because that was the video trial I had before this presentation. Okay, it's still processing. I hope it could finish soon though. Okay, let me take one of the URL here so that we don't waste time here. It's probably the same thing when it comes out. And you can grab the URL here. That's a streaming URL directly from Windows Azure server, streaming server. And we will copy the URL. And then we will We will replace this URL here. Okay. So now if I click on play button, it should play the video. Yeah, so the video gets played that is from the video source is from one of the streaming server inside Windows Azure. Did you guys see the audio comes from the Okay, and I prepare another video, which is more interesting that shoot in the office in Redmond for my team, because some of my team member want to say hi. I hope that the
大家好，这里是叶森的办公室。
Sorry.
现在让我
Can anyone understand?
Yes.
Oh, there's someone understand. Okay. So that was where you will need an audio selection, right? So let's add in audio selection, which we have another version you will be able to understand. It's this one. Okay, and then I play this again. Hopefully it gets played through the audio in the room. I did.
大家好,
oh, sorry. So now you can change to English. Okay, cool.
It's the client SDK lab. Hi.
Hey.
What are you working on?
Media services.
Oh.
What are you recording?
It's for Tech Australia.
Oh, no, don't record my screen. It's all confidential.
Whoa. Hi.
Hey, man.
Hi. What's that evil looking device?
Oh, it's a top secret project we are working on.
Let's smash it.
Oh no.
Let's wait until next release.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, sorry about the audio here. But it's truly a lovely team. These are two tests working in my team right now. One is responsible for Windows 8 platform, a player or framework you are using, and the other one is doing iOS client SDK. And it's like such a short video, but trust us, like it spent like more than 1 hour. And we even search how to pronounce "Hey Mate" natively. I don't know how you guys say that, but yeah. So. And let's continue the demo that not only playing video on demand content, you can also play back live content using this framework as well. I'm just going to paste in a smooth streaming source from live content from a Friends 24 TV. So if we, oh, okay, cool. I get a error here. Because I copy HTTP twice. Okay, and hope it works. So now you see the live content here. And the timeline is like a DVR window, like so that there are only like probably past 1 hour's content. And then the live content keep feeding in. So the player is capable of doing live streaming content as well. Okay, let me just fix this. Okay, cool. Okay, the next I wanted to talk about is if I switch back to the slides, is closed caption support. Okay. Closed caption is very important for you to reach out more audience, like if they don't understand the language of your video content, it could be translated into some other like a caption or subtitle. Currently, we support plain text as well as TTML, which stands for Time the Text Markup Language. It's a standard built by WTC for handling closed caption for video on the web. And we also adding support for SMPTT. SMPETE stands for Society of Motion Picture and Technology engineers, I think something like that. And they had a specs of TTML, which they add in more they add in more metadata for TTML, and then they had this standard for a lot of you know, movie captions on TV as well. And then we were having support for web VTT. If you know track element inside HTML5, and web VTT is used in conjunction of track element in HTML5 specs for doing caption support for video in the web. And now I'm going to show you guys the support for closed caption on Windows 8. And firstly, we are going to do is to import two caption file. Okay, and let me find the Notepad script. Okay, so these two files are in TTML format, and let me show you how it looks like. Firstly, is the English caption, and you will see that it's very simple, right? To understand that here is from 3 second to 4 second. Please place this. Please place this caption beneath my video. And what the TTML has more than plain text is the style support. So you can see this caption belongs to region 1. And region 1 has a style 2, which if you look at the file styling section here, style 2 is with a color of white color for your caption and with another background color, probably this a gray color. And if you look at the Spanish caption, which I will also show in the video later, that it has a caption within region 1. And the region 1 has a style 3. And in style 3, you can see that it has a different color with different background color. And that's sort of like how you could have control over your how your caption looks like. And then we are going to add in a reference for time the text, which is the closed caption. And then after adding the library, I want you guys to take a look at the time the text plugin. So it's also a plugin. You don't even need this library if you don't have closed caption support. And inside there's also a CSS file. That was where you got to define or customize how the caption you want it to look like in your application. And then we are going to go back to the default.html. And we are, firstly, I need to add in the library support, the reference for time the text framework. Okay. And then here is a video I prepared with, which works with those two captions. Okay, here you will see this is the video file, and we need to define is caption visible equal to true, and that was where the caption gets displayed. And we pass in the caption information through tracks. You can see it here, which pointing to that file I just imported into my project, English.xml, and then it has the Spanish one as well. So if we play the video right now, oh, I think the audio system. Yeah, so I could actually change to another language so that you understand the video better. And then you see the style is changing, right? Because I have different styling for the video, for the caption. And then you can turn the caption off as well. Okay, yeah, it's done. Okay. Okay, cool. And the next one I'm going to show is a very exciting part. Advertising. What's the advertising support for your video application? Who doesn't want to earn money for a video application that you build? Okay, so all of you guys want to earn money. You don't have to earn it through the way of plugging into advertisement, but that's certainly a very effective way for video playback because people are so used to watch video while watching TV so that they don't get so bad reaction for when you insert more video into your, insert more advertisement into your video. So before talking about advertising, I want to define advertising first. What are the terms we use? First thing is called linear ads. So linear ads is one type of advertisement you can insert into your video. It could be presented before the main content, in the middle of the main content, or after the main content, which we call pre-roll ads, mid-roll, and post-roll ads. The key character of linear ads is it takes over of the whole view of the main content. So while you're watching a movie, for instance, you don't get to see the movie anymore. It gets paused, and then you see the linear ads. So that's what the linear ads character is. And the opposite is non-linear ads, which doesn't take over the full view. Like, for instance, the video still gets played. That's like the Big Bunny video. But there is a non-linear ad shows up as an overlay of the video you watch, and that's called non-linear ads. And it could be text, graphic, or even video on top of other video. And usually it's click-through. However, it doesn't necessarily to be the case. You can just display the non-linear ads there as well. And the last one I want to define is called companion ads. The usage of companion ads is to offer sustained visibility. So what do I mean by that? It usually pairing with linear ads or non-linear ads. This is a sample for companion ads pairing with a linear ads. So if you look at this one, that's an Xbox advertisement, and there is a companion ads of Xbox Live banner. And later on, after the ads gets played, like 5 seconds later, it's done. You switch back to the main content, but the companion ads still gets played on top of the video, so that if your user changed their mind halfway, hey, I want to take a look at that ads, they still get a chance to click through the Xbox Live companion ads on top of the video. Like, you could define the companion ads to be anywhere on your screen. And so talking about ad standard, and now I want to go into the way how you communicate with advertising server. So usually if you have a video player, you want to play your content, and you usually don't host the advertisement yourself as well. You probably subscribe to some advertisement server so that it feeds you the advertisement. It needs to be a way for you to communicate with that advertisement server because you guys need to speak the common language so that they tell you what to play and you understand. And that's the usage of VAST. VAST is a standard called Video Ad Serving Template, which is adopted by majority of advertising server. If you use advertising server, you probably get to see VAST. It's very simple to use. It's just XML recommended by IAB. It solves the problem of telling video player what to play, where the ad is, how long it is, and you know what the format of the advertisement. And it supports 5 major advertisement formats, such as skippable linear ads, ad pod, it's a sequential advertisement. Think about ad break. It could be like 3 ads back to back in the break of a soccer game or something. And it supports linear ads, which I explained, non-linear ads, as well as linear ads with companion. If we take a look as a sample how VAST looks like, it's very simple that you have the VAST syntax, and then inside the syntax, it will tell you, here, I will give you a linear ad, and I will give you a companion ad. If I further zoom into linear ad section, it's something look like this. The ad server will give you a VAST file, and the file contains this. It tells you where the advertisement is. Play this URL, that's your ads. And how, you know, the width and height of your advertisement, and also the bit rate, what's the quality of your advertisement, and also the format. This advertisement is a progressive video instead of like adaptive streaming. So Now let me switch back to the demo. Very fast, I'm just going to show you guys a finished vast advertisement sample so that we don't waste time on importing all those libraries. Firstly, I want to mention is you need an advertising plugin if you want to insert advertisement inside your video. It's also a good thing, right? If you don't have video, you don't have to have this plugin. And then the way to define VAST, I did it in code behind. If you're looking at the JavaScript file, so firstly, in the HTML, that's the main content you want to play. And then you could, in default.js, to define that you will have a pre-roll advertisement. And then it's using the advertising remote at source method. And then you could define the type of the ad. You are going to have a VAST ad player handler. And then that's the VAST URL you pass in. If we take a look at this URL, you will see, let me open this URL. So that's how it looks like. It will contain a tracking, which if the user has clicked through the advertisement, the ad server is supposed to pay you, right? So that's how they pay you. That's very important. And then, here, that's all the media files for the advertisement. It is the same advertisement here. And you may notice, you also have the option, they could give you multiple bit rates, which means the video is from low quality to high quality. And our player have the algorithm to help you detect which one is the best to play at current situation. I give you a sample. If the user's player is capable of playing smooth streaming, for instance, for now, and if the ad media file contains a smooth streaming advertisement, we will choose the smooth streaming source for you so that the user gets the best viewing experience even they are watching an advertisement. And so now the thing is pretty easy that I also schedule a mid-roll here at 15 seconds of the main content and a post roll. Okay. And lastly, it's just to use this ad scheduler plugin and then you push in the mid roll, post roll, and pre roll. And now let's take a look at the demo. So at the very beginning, pre roll, which means at the very beginning, you're supposed to see an advertisement. And that's the ad. Oh, I lost the audio totally. Does it work? Sorry, it's okay. Let me. Yeah, you guys can hear, right? Okay. So you can see it's not seekable while you're playing advertisements. And then that's the main content gets played. And then remember I said after 15 seconds, I supposed to get another ad. And I could just seek until 28 seconds, which, you know, you don't seek past the advertisement. The advertisement gets to play at 15 seconds also. So that's how the ad gets played. Okay, cool. That's the VAST advertisement standard, which we think you should understand if you want to embed the advertisement into your application. And the very last standard I want to talk about is, sorry guys. That was for you, Nick. Okay. The very last advertising standard I want to tell you guys is called VMAP. It stands for Digital Video Multiple Ad Playlist. What's this for? It partially solved the problem of when to play the advertisement, because just now I define when to play myself. I say play pre-roll, 15 seconds, and post-roll. However, imagine Disney, right? I have a movie called Little Mermaid, for instance. And you could build a player for me, but I don't know you. There could be many people buy my content and host my content and play. I don't want you to insert advertisement every 5 seconds when you show my movie to the audience, because that's sort of like bring me bad reputation for my movie. So in that case, as Disney, I have these specs to use to define, to tell you when I allow you to have a break in the movie. And also, I know my content better. So I can tell you, go and insert the ad at 1 hour time. Everyone will watch your advertisement, because that's probably right before the bad guy die or something like that. So that's the usage of VMAT for content provider to define where the ad break could be. So if you buy, like purchase content from content provider, probably you are dealing with these specs. And then it defines timing for each break. So how long your advertisement could be, how many breaks are available throughout the whole movie, what type of ad you could play, like progressive or smooth streaming or some other formats. And lastly, how many are allowed in each break. Like say you can only play 3 advertisements at 1 hour time. That's what VMAP described. And that's how it looks like. So the firstly, it's very simple that it says you can play an ad at the very beginning, and you can play multiple advertisements. And then it defines play an ad at 5% of the content. And the lastly, it defines you can play an ad at 15 seconds of your content. So that's how I want you to sort of like inserting advertisement into my platform and into my video. And if we take a look at the demo, just real quick, that I'm going to open a VMAP application. First thing, don't forget, you need to use advertising plugin for VMAP support as well. How you use is through VMAP scheduler plugin, and you pass in the VMAP XML. You could do that code behind as well, like what I did for VAST. It's the same thing to define in JavaScript. And then let's take a look at how VMAP XML looks like. Okay, and then let me just close this, and we can see. So firstly, for VMAP, you can see here, it defines ad break. And then it says that at the beginning, you are allowed to play an ad. And then you say here, like, how come there's a VAST inside VMAP? The reason being, VMAP supports VAST, because remember, VMAP only solves the problem of when to play. So how to play, what to play, you still need to be defined by some other way. You could either invite the URL here, say, play the ads like it's a local URL, or you can invite a VAST file, say that's sort of like what my ad server told me to play. And now if I comes back to my demo, if I hit on play button, it should inserting an ad at the very beginning, because I use the same VAST file, so you'll see the same advertisement, but the scheduling is different this time. For VMAP, this time we use VMAP file to schedule, and last time we did it with JavaScript. So now you see the ads gets played. So it's like people not be able to skip the app advertisements. Yeah, I think I won't wait for the ads to finish. And lastly, let me switch back to the slide. Okay, I hope after my demo, you're sort of convinced that this player framework is pretty capable. And if you want to check out more features, it's available on playerframework.coplex.com. And these are the customers and partners who have built a smooth streaming application using our player framework. And all this, I think they are not currently publicly available in Windows Store, but they will be publicly available in the future. Like, I think pretty soon, next month. And interestingly, I just want to share with you that you see there are sort of like premium content player there like Hulu or Amazon, but more you are seeing a lot of TV channels. They are shifting from a traditional cable subscription model into like IP video platform. So more TV channel also want people to see their content through like tablet or client devices. So I'm very happy that you guys are very interested in this area, because I think in the next 3 to 5 years, this industry is going to having a very dramatic change in terms of the viewing experience. Think about 3 years ago, if you want to watch a movie, you would think about renting a DVD first, but now immediately you're thinking of some online channel to watch a video. So really a good time to be in this exciting space right now. And I don't really have any ready-to-go application to show, because some of like 2TV, I have it on my machine, but it's geo-blocked, so only Canada viewers can see the content. However, do check it out once they are available. And also, if you build, maybe the next Netflix or something, let me know. I'm really happy to talk about it in my blog. And lastly, I leave with you for some resources, where to get started. And all the session material, every single demo I showed here, will be available at mingfeiwai.com, which is my blog. So even you miss the session on Wednesday, the materials are available as well. You can give it a try for Windows Azure Media Services. Currently, it's in preview stage, and it's free. You can have like 3 months free trial. So give it a try. And yeah, the similar stuff you guys have seen so many times. That's all, and I open the floor for questions. Thank you. Yeah.
When do you expect the Contoso app that you showed to be either released or open sourced, or will it?
Okay, the question is, just now I showed a demo website, Contoso. You can just encoding content. When will that be available? That's a very good question, because I don't know. So I'm working with the vendor closely, and we truly want to get that out as soon as possible, so it helps partner to build a real product as well, and also help you guys to deploy even locally, or you do your own customized workflow. And I don't have a timeline right now, but hopefully by end of this year, and all the code will be publicly available. Oh, give me a second. You get this. This is sponsored by LinkedIn. From last session. Okay.
When you edit the native libraries, you chose a platform like Windows 32, right?
Uh-huh.
If I do Windows Store application,
Windows what?
If I do Windows Store application, I don't know what platform will be, ARM or 32. What do I do in this case?
Well, that's a very good question. So the question is, if I use Smooth Streaming Client SDK, I have to build against either 32 or ARM. So how could I choose, since I don't know which tablet people are using? If I were you, I have to build two versions in that case. I'm pretty sure only one version should work, but I don't know. I don't know how's the steps. I could take a note and I will reply you later. Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I never thought of that. Your turn to answer this.
Okay. I think you should be able to perhaps target. So when she changed the config, when she added the references in, she targeted a 64-bit platform, but you should be able to target, say, a 32-bit platform if you have assemblies.
Yeah, his question is he doesn't know which.
When they build the package for the Windows Store,
I have this.
Submit your app to the store, you're saying that you don't know what people are going to download it as, so you don't know whether to put
it. Well, the guarantee is in the Windows store, right? Yeah. You write something to the Windows 8 platform within the WinRT framework, you upload to the Windows store as a Windows store app, and we will take care of if you run on a Windows Pro device or WinRT device. In this situation, it doesn't appear that's possible, is that correct?
I
somehow say take all of them and Windows Store decide how package will be deployed. I don't know, because in this stage I can't see how can I create Windows 8 Windows Store app, submit it to App Store, and then all users on Surface Hardware, Surface Notebook will be able to use it up.
I think that's a good question. I will follow up. Could you just give me an email later? I will check with my team, because we never get to that stage. Like, we don't submit app. So I think that's a very valid question. Yeah. And okay, he raised hand first. I will go to you the next.
That advertising standard, let's say if I'm producing a movie with say 400 MB, there the advertiser can put a limit that the ad itself shouldn't be another 100 MB in terms of the bandwidth.
Oh, in terms of the size of the advertisement.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see your question. So the question is, if I insert a advertisement into the main content, could we put restrictions on the duration of the ads, right? So that's something you will need to define with the ad server. So if you are subscribing some advertisement service such as Bing, Bing has ad server as well. So you can tell Bing that don't give me the ads more than 15 seconds long. That will spoil my content. And then when Bing serve you, they probably serve you a VAS file, which is a dynamic, which has a dynamic link. So every time when you pull from the ad server, you get different ads because you don't want people to watch the same ads over and over again, right? And then all the ads they serve you will be limited under certain length for the advertisement. That's sort of like an agreement you have with them when you have the ads, yeah. I give you this first.
About pre-roll in your ads.
Mm-hmm.
On some platforms allow the user to skip the ad after say
seconds. Okay. That's a very good question. So you want to ask how could we allow user to skip the advertisement, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I will give you two for this question. So it's something I wanted to talk about, but I didn't have time for this session. So I really want to answer this question. There is a standard called VPaid. If you are interested, you can search online later. VPaid is a way to define how your video player is going to look like, whether the advertisement is skippable or not, or you know all those playback policy. And this media player framework implement the VPaid standard, which all the advertisements are not skippable. So that's sort of like the standard. If you don't want to follow that, you can tear down the player and rebuild something on top of our framework, and you still get the advertisement plugin and all those things. But you sort of need to implement the player according to some other playback policy so that people can skip your ads. But that's not really a common scenario, like mostly for online right now. Like usually you still need to watch the advertisement. Yeah, but that's really a very good question. I'm glad you mentioned that. Give you two. Okay, any other questions? Oh, okay.
All your demo is for the Windows 8 and the Windows platform. So if I want to look at the video from the iPad or the how can I do it?
iOS?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you are doing, that's also a very good question. If you are doing progressive download, for instance, iOS has its own player framework. They use an AV player or MP movie player. That's the library that to build a player in iOS. However, if you're talking about adaptive streaming, like I want to use smooth streaming, for instance, we have SDK release for iOS to be able to enable smooth streaming playback on iOS. So you can build an iOS application using that SDK. And that was how London Olympic have iOS application. I think Canada was using that for live streaming for London Olympic. And for HLS, if you want to play back HTTP live streaming, and we are currently developing the iOS SDK for HLS so that you could have HLS natively playback with advertisement insertion. So if you have more idea on that, you could talk to me because I'm the PM for designing the feature right now for HLS playback with advertisement insertion in iOS. So I do want to get more feedback from you if you are looking into that area. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Cool. Thank you so much for coming, and hope you guys had fun. Thank you. Oh, I need to give you the kangaroo. I promised.